Peace, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, everybody. Peace, peace, peace. Welcome to our show, Poetry Saved My Life. If you got any poetry you want to, you know, share with the family, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Call in and spit your piece. You know, we love to hear what you got to share with the family on tonight. Also want to, you know, let everybody know I'm your host, Yahmi, with SWIP. And SWIP stands for Spoken Word Entertainment Publishing. But we've recently, you know, changed our name on here to Poetry Saved My Life. So that's how we rocking it now, Poetry Saved My Life. And, you know, if you got some poetry you want to spit, you know, here's an opportunity, it's a platform for you to, you know, do that, whether it's on the revolutionary side, whether it's on, you know, whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to spit, it's open mic tonight. So that's how we're going to rock this show every night. We're going to try to, you know, do something revolutionary and then also just to kick some poetry, you know, to the fam. But we definitely want to let y'all know, you know, we're asking everybody for support, you know, Blackout Friday, you know, Blackout Friday. Either don't shop or shop only with black folk. So that's where we at with that. You know, I'll probably share a poem or two or something like that, and then, you know, I'll open it up for those that, you know, those that are interested in calling in and spitting their piece. I write a lot of love stuff, so I don't have a whole lot of the revolutionary stuff, but, you know, it is what it is. I pretty much just talk about my life, my story, what I've been through, relationships, and things of that nature. So, you know, whatever floats your boat, you know, we could grind with that. I talk about my life mostly, you know, through my writings and stuff like that. So, you know, you feel free to do you. But I just want to let the family know, all the listeners online today all over the world, that it's a sad day for us. You know, it's a sad day for us, and you know, we're not celebrating that Thanksgiving stuff. You know, we understand that about 800 million Indians was murdered and slaughtered. It's approximately 2 million Native Americans or Indians left as a result of the Pilgrims and the Americans killing the Indians. And then, you know, of course they turned it on us too. You know, after they got rid of them, they wanted to kill the red race and the black race, and you know, so we've been dealing with a lot of stuff, you know, the human race has, you know, the blacks, you know, we have definitely the black race, we have definitely been and we're not even a black race, it's just we've gone through a lot, and I just want to keep those families in prayer, you know, including my family. You know, we've also lost loved ones, not necessarily to police brutality, but black-on-black crime. So I want to remember all of those brothers and sisters, and then, you know, those brothers and sisters that's locked up, you know, in prison. I ain't forgot about you. I wrote a piece for my comrades, political prisoners, and, you know, prisoners, you know, as a result of that mass incarceration piece. Who's going to save us from these prisons of injustice? To all my brothers in Stateville living in hell, I ain't forgot about you or those hunger strikes. And to all my brothers having it hard in Manoan, I ain't forgotten about you. To all my brothers and sisters on death row and captive inside the county jails, you ain't forgotten. To all my sisters fighting in the white over them whites, I ain't forgotten about you. Even inside of Lincoln, we're going to need more than Abraham to free them. I ain't forgotten about you. Who's going to save us from these prisons of injustice? So I wrote that joint, man, like, you know, years ago, just reminiscing on this whole mass incarceration ordeal, and then also on this, you know, on a political prisoner piece. You know, you had Mumia Abu-Jamal, you know, I remember fighting and battling for that brother, too. You know, then Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., when he was down in Stateville, you know, up under that bogus charge, they put that brother, locked him up for. and, you know, when they was trying to execute the brother, you know, in the streets of Chicago. So, you know, I definitely want to send shouts out to the big brother. And, you know, all of our other, you know, political prisoners, brothers and sisters, you know, that's locked up right now. You know, we definitely not forgotten. We definitely not forgetting about you. We definitely not forgetting about you. Not at all. And then, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this whole relationship piece, right? How, you know, we just dogged a black woman. Like, you know, I bear witness to a fact. I got a neighbor, man. She straight deal with these cats that's just this dog walker. I mean, just like, just beat her down. Like it was this one cat she was dealing with, you know, and they live like right above me too, right? And so I hear everything, like all the noise, all the rumbling, all. And I knocked on their door one day. I'm like, look, man, y'all got to hold all that down, like real talk. You know, I got kids too, you know, down here, right? And so I'm like, look, what y'all do is what y'all do. But at the same time, man, you know, you shouldn't be hitting on that woman like that. But at the same time, she going for it, right? So she going for it. She allowing it to happen, right? Because it's not the first time that joint happened, right? And I call myself stepping in, trying to intervene on several occasions, right? And so, you know, when a woman's fed up, she going to do what she got to do to get up out of that situation. But until then, it's like, if she not fed up, you can't constantly be putting your life and your family in jeopardy because they not ready to make that type of move yet, right? And so I stuck my neck out there for these sisters, like, numerous times, like, on the up and up, like, hey, straight up, like, that ain't what men do. You know what I mean? Men don't put their hands on women. That's not what men do, you know? So I done educated these sisters and these young sisters on what you need to do and how you need to get out of that situation. And then sometimes it's the brothers that's in the situation. I educate some of them cats, too, on what you need to do, what you should not be doing, you know what I mean, to protect yourself out of that type of situation. And so anyway, you know, it was a whole other situation with another cat. She ended up getting out of that situation with this brother. And, you know, calling the cops on him, whatever they went through, right? And then she ended up getting with this other cat who was doing the same thing that this other cat was doing, like whooping on. I'm like, man, that's ludicrous to me. Like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand that, right? I can't get with that. Not at all. And then it was a cat, right? Just, man, just like about an hour ago across the street from where I stay at, man. And I'm like, this cat was getting into it with this little boy. I was about 15 years old. This little gay dude. And he had a little friend, female friend with him, a little boy, a little 15-year-old gay boy, and homosexual, whatever you want to call him. And, you know, he got into it with the little boy and the little boy's female friend. And it turned out that the dude, the grown man, ended up whooping on the boy's female friend, and his girlfriend, fiance, whoever she was, started whooping on the homosexual gay boy. And I'm like, man, this mess is crazy. And so the dude, he weighed about 300 some pounds, right? The dude straight, I don't know where he got it from, but he had like this stock in a sock or something. And some was in it, and he just wham, wham, hit her in the face a couple times. She's already on the ground. I'm like, man, this mess is crazy. This mess crazy. And so she made a phone call. She called up peoples, and her peoples came through, rolled in on them, and the police came first, and then they burnt out. They left. You know, I guess he told them, you know, he didn't do none of whatever. So then anyway, she called up peoples. Her peoples came through knocking on the door, and, you know, he didn't come to the door. He didn't man up. He didn't man up for what he had just did to that girl. He didn't come downstairs and open up the door. He came downstairs and opened the door for the police. But when he got that knock on that door from her people, you know what I mean? And that's a coward move, you know what I mean? And you man enough to stand up and whoop this female, but you're not man enough to reap the repercussions that come behind that, meaning getting your ass whooped for putting your hands on that girl. I mean, he didn't even come down the steps. So, you know, he ended up breaking his window to his apartment door, his glass door. So he never came down. He came back down steps when the police came back out. I'm like, that's a straight coward move. Anyway, yo, we need to respect a black woman. You know, black woman, you are rightfully crowned queen. In order to disrupt this division, your infinite wisdom causes me to keep still. The negative part of my over-demanding being desires to change you into me, not fully realizing without you there will never be a me. Without you, there will never be a you without a me. We complement each other. I am a reflection of you, and you are a reflection of me. We cannot exist separately. You are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You are my rib, my womb. I am your sun, and you are my moon. Together, we must survive the negative tensions that occasionally dwells inside, thus uniting as one. I'm going to spit that joint one more time for those that are just now tuning in and didn't really hear what I said, you know, my whole monologue, and then going off into this piece called Black Woman. It says, Black woman, you are rightfully crowned queen. In order to disrupt this division, your infinite wisdom causes me to keep still. The negative part of my over-demanding being desires to change you into me, not fully realizing without you, there will never be a me. Without you, there will never be a you without a me. We complement each other. I am a reflection of you, and you are a reflection of me. We cannot exist separately. You are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You are my rib, my womb. I am your sun, and you are my moon. Together, we must survive the negative tensions that occasionally dwells inside, thus uniting as one. And so that's that piece. That's how we got to deal with our sisters. That's how we got to deal with the black woman, because the black woman is so powerful, and the black woman is so, you know, she's a diamond. And, you know, we got to respect and reverence the black woman because we came from her womb, right? So, you know, I want to spit this other piece, right? It's called Black Sister. And it's the first time I'm sharing it with everybody on here, but, you know, it's a piece that I found, and it's near and dear to me, and I think it really applies. And I think that y'all really, you know, grew to this piece. It's called Beloved Sister. I can't promise you that I will never leave you, but I can promise you that I will be there when you need me, Beloved Sister. The next part of that piece go like this. Let me give it to y'all. Beloved sister, I can't promise you that I will never leave you, but I can promise you that I will be there when you need me, beloved sister. I can't say that you will be my only friend, but I can say that no matter what happens, I will be your friend, beloved sister. I will not tell you that I will have solutions to all your problems, but I will do everything I can to help you find the answers you need, beloved sister. I will not vow to catch you each time you fall, but I will vow to help you on your feet if you should ever fall, beloved sister. I can't guarantee that we will never disagree, but I can guarantee that if we are both willing, we can gain a mutual understanding, beloved sister. I love you dearly and think of you every day, but I can't say you will always be on my mind, but I can say I will never forget you because you have a permanent place in my heart. Beloved sister, I want you to love the God of Israel as you love yourself and eat his laws as your bread for strength in all the days of your life. I love you and appreciate you. Selah. So, yo, that's that joint. And that's how we need to be dealing with our beloved sisters, right? Our beloved empresses and queens and goddesses because, you know, heaven lies at the foot of woman. And if heaven lies at the foot of a woman, then, you know, who are we to disrespect that woman? I'm not saying that, you know, there's never going to be arguments or disagreements or what have you, but man and woman that up, like man up, be accounted for, woman up, be accounted for. Women don't need to be pumping their chest up to men, and men like they straight, running the show like that. Like it's a God ordering God structure, you know, and at the same time, men, don't be ordering your women around like they dogs, like they servants, like they less than you because they are equal. You know what I mean? Like, straight respect these sisters. Don't be disrespecting these women out in the streets, putting your hands on these women because that makes you a coward and less of a man. You're not a man when you do these things. You know what I mean? And women, you know, y'all got to deal with each other in peace and harmony because, I mean, you know, deal with each other the same way y'all met each other, in peace and harmony, like reverence, respect, dignity, honor. You know what I mean? And we need to, like, you know, tell our spouse, our significant other, you know, how much we appreciate them, love them, respect them, honor them, cherish them, and we'll always be there for them. I mean, that's that piece. Because what you do in the beginning is what you should be doing in the end. And if you're not doing that in the beginning, then y'all don't need to be together, period. Chivalry is not dead. Yo, man, these cats be sick. They sick. They, man, it be sickening me out. You know, like, these cats don't open doors for women. They don't open up car doors for women. They don't open up doors for women. They don't make sure that our sisters are safe when they're crossing the street protecting our sisters. Like, you got the sisters, like, even on a battlefield, like, the women are leading the battlefield, like, on a protest level. Like, where are all the men at? You know what I mean? Like, where are all the men at? That type of stuff just be getting to me straight up. And so, anyway, those of you that are interested in calling in, you know, we got a little time left on the show, so definitely call in and spit your piece if you want to share something with us. I hate, you know, I don't like hearing my voice all the time, but y'all got something to say, definitely call in. Guest call in number is 347-857-1587. And, again, you know, we definitely saying Poetry Saved My Life. It's a Poetry Saved My Life joint. And also, again, for those that are just tuning in, we want to remind you, yo, Blackout Friday. Blackout Friday. You know, don't support that. Like, straight, if you're going to buy only from blacks. That's what we're saying. Otherwise, don't buy at all. Because, you know, we gotta stand for something. We don't stand for something, and we'll fall for anything. And that's our thing. Like, straight for Thanksgiving, what they call Thanksgiving, man, I just chill with my family. Like, my children, it was just us. You know, we just chill today. I wasn't trying to do all that extra stuff because I understand the significance of what's going on and, like, the meaning behind, you know, what's going on with the whole Hella Day piece. And, you know, I just can't get with it. I just can't groove with it. So, you know, that's that deal, man. You know, so I want to thank everybody for tuning in, you know, to the show. And I hope, you know, y'all enjoyed it. And, you know, it was worthy of y'all listening to. You know, we're going to keep doing this. So 347-857-1587, you know, Ferguson, Missouri, we love y'all. We love everything that y'all are doing. You know, the protesters, you know, we love y'all. We appreciate appreciate the movement. You know, definitely we appreciate the movement. We still got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. So our family and all the other 49 states and other countries, Iran, Iraq, you know, India, you know, everybody that's supporting what we're doing, you know, we love y'all. We got mad love and respect for all of y'all. I fight not with y'all. I fight this right here in America, you know, dealing with this injustice system. You know, that's where our fight is, right here at home. So, you know, we ain't got no problems with Afghanistan. Nobody. We got a problem with what's going on here, you know, in America and St. Louis and New York and, you know, Eric Gordon and all the countless other brothers and sisters, man, that they done laid down, police brutality. So we say peace in the Midwest. Where there is no justice, there shall be no peace. Where there is no peace, there shall be no justice. So we got to keep on doing what we got to do. And, you know, Spook, Who Sat by the Door, I think that's a good movie. I'm definitely going to check it out. I think, you know, everybody need to be watching that movie, Spook, Who Sat by the Door. And just, you know, learn to strategize. Learn to become a better people, become a better unified people, you know, continues. And, you know, I've seen the organizations here. Some of the organizations are definitely coming together collectively, and I love that. But, yo, you still got other organizations that are not like, really supporting, not really trying to come together like that, and we're going to need everybody because although the organizations are doing things, there's still, like, a lot of division and confusion, right? And so we as a people, we got to continue to find ways to bridge that gap between our youth, ages 17 to 35. You know, we got to bridge that gap between that whole youthful age bracket, 17 to 35, that's what I'm calling the youth. And then, you know, you got the other generation above that age bracket. So we got to continue working on bridging these gaps, you know, and you know, real leadership, new leadership, real leadership, you know, stepping up. And then also before we get up out of here, yo, we want to petition these lawyers out here, these so-called lawyers, man, you know, represent this Brown family on a real level and straight, you know, we need to redress these grievances. And We need to redress these grievances and reevaluate and resubmit the evidence to a second grand jury. So that's that piece, and we need to select and choose them. So, you know, double jeopardy is not in effect here. So double jeopardy is not even applied here. So you can take that chump back to court. You can take that chump back and get an indictment before a second grand jury. And that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to be done. And in order for that to happen, the people need to wake up and understand that that is something that can presently take place. But we need competent lawyers, competent attorneys that are willing to stand up and take this on. We constantly reaching out to Big Brother Alton Maddox there in New York to come on down to St. Louis to represent like how it should be represented. But the family has to accept him. The family has to be willing to accept that piece, right? Willing to accept Alton Maddox back down, you know, to come down here and represent them. And understand like this piece is much bigger than just Michael Brown. This represents a whole nation. This represents a whole nation of people that have constantly been oppressed. But so it starts here. It starts right here at home. It starts with Michael Brown here in St. Louis. It starts with the Eric Garner in New York. It starts with, you know, Lavina Johnson, the sister that was murdered and raped in St. Louis, in the military. You know, so it starts with brothers and sisters, you know, all around the world that's been affected by police brutality and also been affected by rape and murder in the military. So we stand up, we stand strong for them sisters that's been murdered in the military. So Lavina Johnson and family, you know, we reach out to y'all definitely. You know, we keep y'all in our hearts and our prayers and our thoughts on a constant. And you know, all the other countless sisters and brothers that were murdered too, and then that gave their lives on the front lines. You know, our ancestors, former slaves and just everybody that really, you know, went hard for us during the Civil War and, you know, both wars and everything. So, you know, we're just saying no justice, no peace. You know, we believe in fighting for what's right, and we're not going to stop, and we're going to keep hope alive. We're going to keep it alive. And again, where there is no justice, there should be no peace. So we're going to keep protesting. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and it's going to keep on going. You know, it's going to keep on going just like that. So, no justice, no peace. Blackout Friday. That's it.